Hey, my name's Robbie. It's great to have y'all here. If you're new this weekend, wow, it's kind of like you just walked in at the last 10 minutes of an epic movie. And so we're in this series, and we've been catching up to speed on a lot of things that this community, we've thrown ourselves at. So let me bring you up to speed. 18 to 20 months ago, our church, Crossroads, started a journey where we took on four huge initiatives. We said, we're not satisfied with the way the world is running, and God is asking us to do some spectacular things, and we want to get involved. And so we've been throwing our energy, our resources, our money at these four huge things. The first one is this experience you're having right now. We're creating more places like this so that our friends and neighbor can hear the story of God in a way that they understand. This is called our multi-site initiative, and Florence is the next site we're kicking off August 19th, which is awesome. Yeah. The second thing we're throwing ourselves at is ending generational poverty in Cincinnati, and that initiative is called the CityLink Initiative. And you guys are clappy today. This is great. The third thing that we're throwing ourselves at is holistic care in South Africa. We have a long-standing relationship with South Africa, and some great things are happening in relations to South Africa. I'm so excited about where that's going. And the last Goliath that we are throwing ourselves at, just with great passion, is being a part of aftercare facilities for girls who have been rescued from sex slavery in India. And guys, these four initiatives have caused this, you know, you remember Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? And you're like, the guy was like, and he took the heart out and like, kung, 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 kung. If you look, like, different movie, but like this thing, this weekend, you're seeing the beating heart of Crossroads. And so when you walked in, you may have received one of these things right here. On one side it says, my commitment. On the other side it says, my story. If you're like me, this probably made your butt pucker. So everyone just take a breather. Everybody just relax. You don't have to worry about this for now, okay? But what you're going to see at the end of the service are people who have said, you know what? I'm in. I'm throwing myself at these initiatives, and I'm reaffirming the financial commitment I made 18 to 20 months ago. And you're going to see other people who were like, gosh, I didn't even know this was going on. I just came like 8 months ago. But I want in the game. I want to be a game changer. And you're going to see those folks come up. But we'll deal with this later. If you're new, that's the Cliff Note version of what we've been doing as a community. The series we're just finishing up is called Game Changers, and every week in this series, we've looked at a historical game changer, someone who has changed the world, changed history, changed the way we interact with one another, the way that we interact with God, just by them being who they are and going against the grain. And so this week, I am really excited about the game changer that we're going to take a look at. This is a man who, as a musician, has really impacted my life in the way that he makes music and the way that he runs his life. And while we watch this video, we're going to have an opportunity to be generous. If you are new, just be clear. We don't want your money. We want you to be here and just receive. See what we're about. See what this community does. And if you call Crossroads home, this is a place where you're invested week in and week out. You know this is our chance to give joyfully and say, in doing so, saying, God, I trust that you will continue to provide for me the way that you have, and you truly know my needs, and so I gladly give back to you. So while that's happening, take a look at this game changer.
Oh, man. When you see someone spending themselves like he is, it can't help but inspire you. Amazing that he said, here's where I am, and I'm going to have my life count. He happens to be a musician. He's throwing his weight into issues, trying to change the game. And all of us can do that in whatever area we're in. A plumber, a salesperson, a stay-at-home parent, a CEO, a teacher. We bring to God who we are, and we say, how can I be spent? to have an impact on the world in which I reside. And so today we're going to be culminating this journey that we've been on for 6-7 weeks. Actually, it's a 3-year journey where many of us have committed above and beyond what we regularly give for all these initiatives we're looking at. And today, I just want to encourage those of us who've committed. Man, I want to encourage you. I see that video and other things we have in store, and I just hope you feel the grace of God. I want you to be encouraged. And others of us are going to be encouraged because we're going to see other people step up and step in and be in the midst of the game that we're a part of, the things that God has called us. And I got to tell you right now, if you're here today, I am impressed with you. I am impressed with you. Everyone walked in here today knowing this was coming. You walked, you knew it, yet you showed up. Let me tell you something. You are not normal. You are not normal. And the best of way, you came here today ready to get your boots dirty, ready to engage. I want to tell you, it makes me honored to be a part of you. It makes me honored to be part of this church. And it's going to have some fun things that are happening today as I'm encouraging those of us who are sacrificing and who are bleeding, who are generous. And as we also encourage and challenge all of us to consider, is there a place where I need to go and how can I get engaged here? So let me pray before I go any further. Father, thank you for opportunities to be abnormal, opportunities to do things that others aren't doing, opportunities to experience things that are very rare. And today is one of those times. So use the words that I have and do something inside of all of our hearts. In fact, I don't want my words to come to our heart. I want them to be your words that come through my dialect. I pray that you would grow us, bless us, give us your grace today. And I pray these things in your name, your character. Amen. So why are we doing this? We're doing this because we have a vision and we've committed $48 million to this. And we know that many of us have had a hard time financially. We've dropped off or are dropping off. And we also know that God has given us a vision that can actually cost way, way more than $48 million. Way, way more. So we're encouraging those of us who have been engaged and just trying to refuel into us. And we're also trying to invite and include others because you are needed. We need you to stand with us, to go forward, to continue to knock things down. And that's what we're doing. It's just a straightforward thing. It's not some weird thing. We're trying to pull strings. We're challenging. We're being creative. But it's a straightforward ask today. That's what it is. We're asking for a commitment above and beyond what you regularly give. You ever notice that, I mean, everybody's always after our money? I know that people say that about churches all the time. People say that about me all the time. And, you know, not getting into that whole debate. Just as a society at large, that's what business is for, to get our money, right? And any kind of technique they can use, they'll do it. Any kind of creative marketing that you all can use to build your businesses, you can do it. And you should. You should. It's fine. But when you notice it, you realize how oftentimes the strings are being pulled. And it's just not straightforward. How about the local furniture store? Have you heard of that one where they said, anybody who buys a piece of furniture in this period of time, if the Reds go to the World Series, does it go to the World Series or does it win the World Series? Win. Win the World Series, your furniture is free. All the stuff that you've been doing stuff on, it's fine. You keep it, and you don't have to pay anything. Oh, man, sales just went, you know. We never do gimmicks like that. We never do. We just kind of say, this is where we are. This is where we're going. We encourage you to engage. We try to motivate, but not from a self-help motivational speaker kind of thing. It's just straightforward. In fact, we've been doing this for 16 years, and talking about motivational speakers, I've been showing this clip for 16 years. Check it out. Never gets old. What do you want to do with your life? Never gets. You're going to be living on a steady diet of government cheese. I love that clip. It's awesome. It's great, wonderful. And actually, we're doing all we can to motivate and inspire. But ultimately, this comes down today between us and God. What God's been doing in you and what you're going to be saying to God today. And one of the things that causes us to not ever get engaged financially or be generous anywhere is because we're afraid if we do, that we'll be living in a van down by the river. No, and we won't. We won't, but this is some of the fear tactics that come our way. We're going to look today at the original game changer, the original one that we talked about when we started the Game Change campaign 20 months ago. His name is David, King David. And he actually is the inspiration behind the Malcolm Gladwell article that brought the idea of game changing to the forefront in New Yorker magazine a number of years ago. And here's the scene with King David. At this point, he's not a king. He's just a boy. He's a shepherd. He has been told that he is going to be the future king of Israel, but no one knows that. And he decides to go to where the nation of Israel is fighting their arch enemy, the Philistines. And what's happened is they're in a stalemate. They both are on opposing hillsides, the nation of Israel and the Philistine army, and neither one wants to make the first move because as soon as they move, they've got to come down the hill in the valley, and while they're in their valley, then they are vulnerable to the other side because then the other side has the high ground. You could shoot arrows, throw spears, or whatever. So no one, neither army wants to move. They're stalemated. Out comes the biggest person on the entire planet, intimidating their master fighter. His name is Goliath. Goliath comes down in the valley, massive, massive brute force, and he starts hurling insults at the nation of Israel, starts challenging them and says, hey, here's the way we'll settle this. You bring your best fighter, and here I am, and we'll represent our nations, and we'll figure it out. Mano y mano, he says, and I don't even know Spanish, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to come down, we're going to fight, and the nation of Israel, no one refuses, no one decides to accept. Everyone refuses to stay with the masses, stay numb, and stay safe. And here comes the little shepherd boy, David, coming up to do a little errand, and he sees what's happening. And he goes, oh my goodness, this is awful. We serve the living God. Our nation has been called out by God. And we're paralyzed by fear over one guy. Here's what David says. Here's how he processes it. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Calls him uncircumcised, not because he's seen and it's checked, but he knows he's uncircumcised because circumcision was a sign that the nation of Israel would have done to their males, a sign of God's faithfulness and how close they were with God. They were unique, they were marked, they were set apart. And so when David calls him uncircumcised, he's saying, this guy doesn't know the real God. This guy isn't aligned with all truth, all power, and yet all of the nation of Israel is afraid. Who is this? Who is this? David is wrecked. All game changers, we are wrecked. We are wrecked. He is wrecked by the ridiculous scene that he said. This should not be. And we're wrecked. We're wrecked by the fact that there's people all over the city of Cincinnati that don't have access to a church that they understand and will speak their language. I'm wrecked and wondering every time I go through drive-thru, does that person know their creator? Do they? I'm wrecked every time I hear somebody who is in the midst of an awful marriage and they're about to get divorced or somebody who's in the midst of an addiction and I go, are they in a church where they can have community gather around them and most of the time they're not? It wrecks me. It bothers me. It bothers us. It bothers us. Our poverty rate here in Cincinnati, it bothers us. It wrecks us. The number of kids that are hungry, it wrecks us. The number of kids that don't understand what it means to get a job, have a job, work it, get a promotion, get more money, and work up the economic ladder. Why? Because they've never seen it. They've never seen that modeled for them. And now they're just perpetuating the cycle of generational poverty. It wrecks us. Wrecks us with a single mom who's in poverty has to deal with their children. It's not the way it should be. It's why we're doing CityLink. That's why we're doing multi-site. It wrecks us. People that we know don't have holistic care on the other side of the globe in South Africa. That there's actually an industry in India that's rape for profit. Bothers us. That always bothers people who are game changers. And if you're here today, you're here today because you're bothered. Awesome. Awesome. Way to walk in on this today and stay buttoned in. You know, interesting little statistic. Since we had our last series was one of the more popular ones that we've done, a place at the table. Attendance has been up, 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 up. You know, from the last series till now, our attendance at Oakley and Mason is down 23%. Down 20, just so you know, I expected it. Doesn't bother me. I mean, because most people, or no, those aren't most, but a lot of people, they're just not bothered by things. They want to stay in the masses. They don't want to change. They don't want to get challenged. And you're here today because you want that. You want something that is different. And I got to tell you, every person who is in here today has been fought for. You've been, just as David is going to fight Goliath, every single person here has been fought for. Someone came out. I fought for you. Because every time we've grown as a church, there was a 23% or a sizable faction or a vocal faction said, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go from rent to facilities and your own bill. Don't do it. And we said, no, we're doing it. We're doing it. Every time we've added a new service, we've been, no, we can't. There's been a vocal but said, no, let's just stay the way we are. Let's not grow. Let's not bless people. If you have received anything from God through this church, whatever, you have to understand, it came on the backs of people who fought for you, because there was all people who said, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. We went to Mason. Mason, people, oh, no, we shouldn't. Every single time someone has fought for you, and now you get to fight for somebody else. In fact, someone fought for me. I'm standing on the shoulders of 11 people who invited me here to Cincinnati. I didn't know until I saw the video that our creative team did, which, by the way, how awesome was our creative team to do that Bono video, huh? That is awesome. Awesome. Didn't realize until I saw that Bono had answered an ad for you too. You got to wonder how many singers are going, dang, why didn't I answer that ad? I should have done that, you know? I answered an ad. I answered an ad, and 11 people wanted to start a church. They had, for people who had given up the idea of church, but hadn't given up on God. 11 people, they sacrificed for me. They fought for me. They did amazing things. I stand on their shoulders. People like Tom and Nancy Shepherd, Brian and Nancy Wells, Jim and Vivian Bechtel, Joanne Josoff, and others. All of us are doing that. In fact, all people have been sacrificed for and fought for, and now the chain continues. We get to say, am I wrecked by people who are disconnected from God, people who are disconnected from hard things happening in their life? Now, if you are, let's just have our first little interaction here. We're not going to do this big, scary part of this, but I just want you to just fill out some of these details that we're going to need later on. This is sort of a way right now for you to engage, say, yes, okay, I'm engaging the rest of this time together. So just take out your pen and put your name on there. Try to make it as neat as you can. We're all going to have the opportunity to come forward and have a pretty special moment later on. Your last name, Tome. It's not Tome, Tommy. I actually wish it was Tome. That'd be a cool one. Your email address, brytome@crossroads.net, or whatever yours is. And then we will sell this to an insurance agency in Iowa and generate some cash. No, we will not do that. We never have done that. I'll talk about that in a moment. Your address, city, state, zip, okay. Don't look at that other part yet. In fact, you can just kind of fold that away. That's okay. Oh, and by the way, too, man, it's really cool and encouraging to hear how God is working. If you want to do something in the, just write something on the back to process it and pray and encourage others, that'd be really cool. You can do that anytime while I continue to talk. See, Goliath was intimidating the masses, and people tend to think the Crossroads is a Goliath. We're big, but we're 23% less big than we used to be, but we're not the Goliath, we're the David, because the issues we're looking at, the things we're going, are massive, massive, and the only reason you go after big things is if you're internally wrecked. You go, how can this be? In fact, all of us in here not only are going against corporately a big Goliath, but I promise you, every last person here has a private Goliath that's trying to stare you down right now. There's a private Goliath that's in the valley that's looking at you and belittling you and telling you you can't do what you're going to do today, telling you be afraid, telling you, if, you know, you might live in a van down by the river if you do anything else, telling you that, you know, the leadership of Crossroads might go wacky and, you know, then what happens to that money, telling you all kinds of, these are all things that our private Goliaths tell us. All of us see that. All of us have it. And yet we go. Because we want to. Jesus said, when you're not wrecked about certain things, it says some bad stuff about where you are spiritually. In fact, there's a bunch of people that said, God, we love you, we're with you, Jesus. Jesus at one point says, no, you don't. You never knew me, you never helped me. And they go, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We always help you. These are like the equivalent of nice churchgoers that really never get engaged. And Jesus says this to people. He says, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. So if you don't come to the point where you're wrecked by the problems that people have, there's an outage in our relationship. Now, David notices that there's a problem, he's wrecked, and he decides to engage. He decides he's going to be the one who's going to break away from the masses. When the masses stay calcified, he's going to be the one that goes. He's going to be the one that steps up for the fight. And so he goes to King Saul, who is the largest person in the nation of Israel, who actually should be the one who's going down to Goliath, but he's refusing to. He goes to Saul and says, hey, I'm going to be the one who goes down and meets this Goliath. And Saul and everybody else in the nation of Israel thinks he's ridiculous, thinks he can't change anything. Here's what happens. Saul said to him, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth. And he's been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear or a lion and tiger or bear. Yes, good. Or lamb from the flock. Some of you are young enough, you're going, well, what just happened there? It's an old movie, and lions and tigers and bears. Yeah, wonderful. Okay, here we go. I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Saul looks at him and said, dude, what you, come on. You're not going to change anything. You're just a youth. You're prepubescent. You don't even have any tight curlies on you. This doesn't do anything. That's actually in the original language. If you actually read that, it's actually right there in the original language. That's in essence what he's saying. You can't make any impact. You can't have any difference. And people have been telling us that for a long time. We're barely pubescent at 16 years old. And yet, people think that, no, it's just a big place where people go or this or that. No, people have been telling us, you can't do that. You can't have another location. You can't start a church without denominational support. You can't send people over to Africa. You have 1,600 people later. Yes, we can. You can't do this. People constantly doing that. And game changers, because of what God's doing, they say, no, I have a belief. David has belief. That I've been up against odds before, I've done it, I can do it again. There's belief. God can empower me. And we have belief. We have belief that we are seeing the Goliath fall. We have belief that there is a new day coming, and this propels us. See, we don't have to be involved in helping other people get connected to their Creator. We don't have to. We get to. We don't have to come against poverty. We get to. We get to give kids and those in poverty a different way. We get to. We don't have to be engaged in the issues in South Africa and India. We get to. We don't have to do what we're going to do today with these cards. We get to. I'm telling you, this might be the most important day of your life. Honestly, I mean that. There's a statement that you're going to be able to give to God and give to yourself, and there's something that's going to happen, and it's not about, okay, I guess I don't know. We need to we get to. David doesn't go, oh, gosh, no one's doing a crap. Oh, man, oh, gosh, if no one else will. All right, I guess I will. No. He goes, I get to. I get to move and go forward. So how does he do it? He does it differently than everybody else. This is where the whole game change discussion comes from Malcolm Gladwell. David's beat Goliath because they use different weapons. They use different tools. Goliath is armed with a sword, javelin. David says, I'm not going to do that. Saul tries to put his armor on to David, and David goes, I don't know how to use this. It's not tested. I can't do it. I'm going to do what I know how to do. And he knows how to do a slingshot. So he goes, and he gets some stones, and he puts them in the slingshot. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 17:42 and following. And when the Philistine, Goliath, looked and saw David, he disdained him. Come to me, boy, I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and with the spear and with the javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. He looks at him and says, you're not just a pipsqueak, but you're not even armed for war. You're not even armed for a battle. You've got no armor on, and all you have is a slingshot. David says, I come to you in the name of the Most High God. He doesn't want to do the same thing that's always been done. He's doing it differently. David and Game Changers innovate, and we innovate. We innovate. I like when I hear rumors about Crossroads. I don't like that rumors are there, I guess, but actually there's a good lining behind it. The reason why rumors exist about Crossroads is because we're taking different weapons. We're not doing the same old, same old. You do the same old, you'll get the same results you've always gotten, which is not much. The reason misperception exists is because there's innovation, there's new tools that are happening that actually work. One of the things that we've done creatively is do videos and actually distribute them uniquely. And we did a video in Kids Club that showed last week in Kids Club in Mason and Oakley. And fascinating, it just went viral and it has exploded globally. Thousands and thousands of downloads. It's in 90 countries. 90 countries are using this video. It's really, really, really crazy. And the normal way to do this is some of you are already thinking right now, it's like, gosh, if you could put that in a DVD and we'd sell that sucker and, man, we could get some scratch that way. And we've always had this as a question. People, well-meaning people come to me regularly and say, hey, if we all got everyone at Crossroads to buy their groceries at the same place, we could have this kind of card thing and then Crossroads would get a certain amount of money. We could fund a lot of yeah, you're right, understand that. And there could be some wisdom there in certain contexts, but not in this context. That's the way that it always works. You consume, you pay. Jesus said, freely have you received, freely give. Jesus' way of funding ministry is that people who freely receive, freely give. Not pay for, not trade, not free receive. That's why we've never sold anything here. We've never sold a DVD. We've never sold a download. We've never sold a cup of coffee. We've never even had a donation cup. Donations appreciated. No, never done that. Never charge for a seminar you've gone to. Never. It doesn't work that way. Freely you forgive, freely you receive, and this is how God has grown us. And actually, this is part of how our heart grows. We would be robbing all of us if we started bartering, because the way we grow is to be like Jesus, who laid his life down, who spent himself, who gave himself. I remember when Crossroads first started, we had somebody at the church who was a game changer more than I was at that point, was more innovative, and said, hey, let's give away all the messages we have on the weekend. Let's give away the cassette tapes. If you're young, you're going, cassette tape? We had a cassette tape story we were talking about. My youngest daughter, Mariah, 14, said, wait, what? What cassette tape? What is it? Didn't know what a cassette tape. Honey, it's a little plastic thing that had these two little wheelie spoolie things, and there was tape, and then, you know. We start giving those away, and I remember talking with some people who are rather well-known in Christendom nationwide, and they sort of chuckled and went, they kind of patted me on the head, treated me like a, prepubescent person, and said, you know what, we'll see how that works for you when you start growing, you get large. Guess what? Still doing it. It's a way of innovation. It's a way of, why would we put a barrier of money between you and what God wants you to have? These were game-changing situations. These were things that were different. They're outside of the norm of consumerism. And we tend to be consumers of religious goods and services and churches. No, not us. Not us. We freely receive and we freely give. So David, not only does he use a different weapon, but he also uses a different tactic. He runs. Game changers run. We run. He bends down. He puts a stone inside of his sling. He gets up and he starts to run at Goliath. Now, in running, he is changing the game. He's changing the rules of the game. Because the way it's supposed to work is two well-armored people come together and then square off with one another. In him running at Goliath, he cuts the distance down significantly, and Goliath is actually taken by surprise. He actually doesn't even have time to get his sword out of his sheath. He cuts the distance, and as he is running, he lets it go, and that rock sails and sinks into Goliath's skull. He runs. He goes on attack mode. He goes aggressive on him. And we are going on attack mode, and we are being aggressive in our giving. Have you ever thought about being aggressive as a giver? Most of us don't think this way. But this is one of the things that the Bible tells me to aspire to. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 7, it says this: "Just as you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." I love that. Excelling in the grace of giving, the blessing of giving. We think of excelling in a lot of things, don't we? We want to excel up the corporate ladder. We want to excel mentally. We want to excel physically. We want to get better. Have you ever thought about what would it look like to get better at giving? What would it look like to be an awesome giver? Not a fair share giver, not a reluctant giver, but a cheerful giver who actually excels in it. A friend of mine is a financial advisor and does a little bit of work with me. And one of the more recent times we got together, he said something interesting. He said, "You know, one of the things I found out, doesn't matter who my client is, no matter how much money they make, everyone spends to zero." Isn't that true? It doesn't matter what income we have right now or what we did have. It always comes down to about zero. We keep adjusting what we have based on what we earn. We spend to zero. We naturally excel in that. When you excel in the grace of giving, you give to zero. You give to give. You make it a priority. And every spiritual great that's gone before us has done that. Everyone. David goes on the aggressive. He gets running. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 17:51. "Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled." So he's running, lets the rock go. The rock sinks into Goliath's forehead, punctures his brain. He falls dead. David never stops running. He never stops running. He keeps on running with his momentum, goes over where the body is. He pulls the sword out. Again, he pulled out of the sheath because Goliath wasn't ready. He took the fight to him. He pulls the sword out of the sheath, lifts it up over, said this massive, massive sword, and poof, he comes down on his neck and severs his head. Then he picks up his head. He shows it to the nation of Israel. He said, "This is my God. This is my God." He shows the head of the one they were afraid of the one that had paralyzed them, and says, "No more." We are taking the head off of the Goliath of our time. We are taking the head off. It's not a pipe dream. It's not an interesting vision. It's real. It's happening. It's real and it's happening. We are taking Goliath's head off. And in taking Goliath's head off, other people around the world who see what we do are inspired by it. They are. When David shows the head of Goliath, the very mouth that was taunting them, when they see his mouth frozen open, his tongue hanging out of his jaw, they realize, oh my goodness, it's a different day. And they take off. The nation of Israel just, they charge. They come down and they totally rout the Philistines. This is what we do. We are a moving organization. We are not a religious institution. We are a part of a revolution that God has been doing. We are a part of a movement. We are a church that is on the move. We're not static in a room like this. And if I agree with it, then I stay. If not, I leave. No, we gather in rooms like this from time to time so we can move. So we can move in our jobs. We can move in our families. We can move in the world. We move. David, this is what he does. He's constant. He's a runner, man. He's running. I mean, the guy, if you read about him, he's got major problems in his life. I mean, he's got adulteries. He's got all kinds. Just bad, bad, at least one adultery. He's got other stuff. He's got problems. And yet the Bible refers to him as a man after God's own heart. murder people in cold blood, adultery. He's got some awful leadership moments, and yet the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Why is that? It's not just because he asks forgiveness and repents. It's because wherever God's heart is, that's where he is. Wherever God's heart is, he always runs there. He says, where's the fight? I want to be in the fight. Where is it? Where are you moving, God? I want to be there. And so as he ages, you see this happening. He gets old and he starts to get bothered as he looks at these foreign nations that follow gods that aren't real, follow gods that aren't the one true God. And he goes, gosh, they got nice buildings for those gods. We don't have a nice building for our God. We need a temple. And God says, you know, I appreciate you thinking about me. I love this aggressive attitude in you. It's one of the things I love about you. Awesome. But you know what? You're a war guy. You need to be a fighter. I don't want you being a builder. We're going to save that for somebody else. So David's like, oh, crap. I really want to run after that one. So his son, Solomon, when he succeeds the throne, it's now his role to build the temple. And David's going, I'm not sitting it out. I'm not sitting this out. Normal people sit out moments of sacrifice. David, not me. I've been a runner the whole life, going to where I'm going on this one. And so he tries to model for the nation of Israel what generosity looks like. And it says this in 1 Chronicles 29. Moreover, in addition to all that I provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver. And because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. Who then will offer willingly, consecrating himself today to the Lord? Who will offer himself willingly? It's really sweet to hear people who are offering themselves willingly in our Game Change campaign, who have been those who have been offering yourself willingly. Man, you've been bleeding and God's been smiling on you. Hearing stories about people doing peanut butter and jelly so they could hit that commitment, offering themselves willingly. New story's been rolling in, kind of cool. Heard of a guy who's got a $75,000 BMW, and he bought a $25,000 Chevy, and as part of his, he's going to commit for the very first time, or he has today. Part of his thing is he downsized so he could give $50,000 as a start of his commitments. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm not anti-BMW. I'm not anti-Lexus. I'm not at all. That's fine, but notice what he's doing. Whoever voluntarily goes backwards in their car? Well, we want to build, and once we hit a certain level, we don't want to go back to the old Chevy Vega I had in high school. But why is he doing it? He's doing that because he wants to excel in giving. Here, one email came in after we did the India week, and it says, I have mentally avoided this part of Game Change because it just brings me into a heap. I hope you stay peeved off about all of this, this out war on slavery, and know your message and work has encouraged me to figure out a way to keep our Game Change commitment. Got three kids in college, and making a Game Change commitment that's two times current giving caused me great concern. So I cut back on Game Change to put more money towards kids' college in an effort to take less loans for my kids' college education. Your message Sunday makes me want to reevaluate how I can make that Game Change commitment. Thank you. Keep fighting. Stay peeved. Know that I will pray for you and your family. He wrote this to Don Jared. Phenomenal. Awesome. All of us are hearing different things. We're hearing different things from God, and actually a lot of us aren't hearing anything from God. And that's okay. That's okay. Just about every time I've been a financial giver, as I've done that, and I've tried to model this, and if you've been around for 3 months, I've tried to model this in examples I've given and talking about where I am financially. If you've been around here for 4 months, you've heard about everything about me financially. You've had glimpses into sacrifice. I've told you how much money I have in the bank. I've told you some of my base motives. You don't know anybody else in your life that you don't know anything about their finances. I try to be open, vulnerable talking about this because this is what David does so oftentimes and other people in the Bible. But I've never really heard from God. Here is the number. Instead, what happens is God hears from me. God hears from me, and that's what we're going to be able to do is have God hear from us. David says, who will consecrate themselves today? What does that mean to consecrate yourself? It means you speak to God. You speak to God. You say, God, everybody is going single file line this way mindlessly, like sheep led to numbing outville. I'm removing myself. I'm setting myself apart. That's what it means to concentrate. I am removing myself and setting myself into your path, setting myself in the path where you are. I am setting myself unto where you're going. Or everyone else operates at this plane, understanding things through this filter. I am going to a different plane. I'm going to your plane. I'm setting apart. I am consecrating myself to your realm of understanding. That's what it means to consecrate yourself, to set yourself aside, to get out from the masses that just stands and looks at things that is bothering them. David says, I've consecrated myself from day one. Day one, I set myself apart when I saw Goliath. I set myself apart and I ran. And to this day, even when I can't run as an old guy, I'm setting myself apart. This is what my life is about. And he says, who will join me? Who will join me? Who will consecrate themselves today? And the echoes of God come to us and you right now. Who will consecrate themselves? Who will join the rest of us? Who will be encouraged? Father, as we get ready to process and make a commitment, I ask that you would provide a final shot of encouragement, final shot of clarity. Help us to see with all sobriety the amazing things you're called us to and how you're enabling us to punch the darkness. Thank you for including us.